I do miss my wife very much. I wish she was here. I hear her messages because I miss her call because I don't get to see her when I'm out sometimes. It's a bummer, but I'm glad that I have the opportunity to preach the word. It's funny because I've taught myself to control my emotions. You know, and usually when I start speaking about God's word, I get all excited and jumping. So if I start jumping, you know, getting excited, just don't mind me, please. I wanted to share my testimony first because it's unusual that I'm standing right here. It's weird for me because I mocked the cross and grew up in a Christian home. Now I went to Wednesday night, you know, basketball, and I'm here. I talk about the Bible. But I was born in El Paso, Texas. My parents met in Germany. They're in the army. I always think it's weird because my father was guarding nuclear weapons. My mom was transporting them. And when I went in the army, I did chemical warfare. So, you know, the family kind of relates with it. Right away, they divorced. My father went back to Germany, and I went to Philadelphia. And then when I was in Philadelphia with my dad's family, my mom came out here. It's actually to Palmdale area. Growing up, first 11 years I was with my mother, it was hard. She, when we talk about this, she didn't make good decisions. I see my mom pick the wrong guys. I've seen her get abused and just drugs everywhere. Just not a good home to grow up in. Yelling, and it was just chaotic, but to me it was normal, you know, because that's all I knew. That's how I knew life was. You know, a pound of marijuana to me was just life, you know. But I thank God for my grandparents. You know, my grandfather, he was a very strict man, you know, but they loved me. In the valley, right, in that little valley, there's some mountains that surround, you know, the valley. And they kind of lived on the bottom of the mountains, so it's kind of like my safety, my safe haven, I guess you would say. Whenever my mother was doing her thing, I would just go to grandma's and grandpa's. And I thank God for that. You know, it really kept me safe from some of the stuff that I could have encountered, you know. So I thank God for my grandparents. And you know, it's funny, I told this to a couple guys, but my grandma used to tell me, you know, don't do this, don't do that, sit the proper way, you know, stuff like that. And growing up, she used to always tell me things. And one of the other, like a year ago, I got really inspired to thank her, you know. And I said, Grandma, I just want to tell you, I thank you for you know, teaching me. And she looks at me, she goes, see, I told you, you know, she got in my face, I told you I was right, you know, I just thank her for that. She was right, you know, she was teaching me and trying to direct me. And although she did not know God, she still loved me, you know, and so I thank God for that. When I was 11 years old, I went to go live with my father, and I remember going to D.C. He was stationed at Fort Myers. He was over there. He was an MP. He was protecting the president. He was guarding Daddy Bush. It was like Colin Powell. He knew Colin Powell. So it was pretty exciting, you know, to go with my father. I'd never seen him before. And I remember walking in the airport, and the guy was like, is that your father? There was only one guy, you know. And I didn't know what he really looked like. And I said, I don't know. I was 11 years old, and then my father embraced me. And I use that as a story, as an illustration of how God is going to, when we go to the gates, you know, God is going to embrace us. You know, I just hope my dad gets saved, because I already know how I'm going to preach at his funeral. I use that story. But, you know, he grew up Catholic. But I didn't grow up in a church with him. But I thank God for him because he taught me some wisdom, you know, on life. you know, some of the places I've been to after I left the home, left the house. You know, if it wasn't for his wisdom, you know, that he taught me, the knowledge I've gained from him, you know, street smart stuff like that, I probably would have been somewhere else. You know, he really allowed me to be, he gave me common sense, basically. And so, although it was hard, and for me, I really thank God for him. And our relationship is just growing today. I thank God for that. I remember I used to talk to God. Isn't that amazing how as children, it's so easy to talk to God, yet we don't know him, I guess. Maybe we do. We just kind of avoid him when we get older. But I just remember being so angry one day. I used to curse at God. And it was weird because I remember I was 15. I was just cursing at God because I just was confused of life. You know, I just was angry because all the things that was going on in my life. I remember I used to curse and then I would say, "Oh, I'm sorry, God." It's like that was my repentance, you know. "I'm sorry, God, I didn't mean to curse at you." I would do it a couple more times. And I just remember one time. The last time, I just didn't say sorry. I just had bitterness in my heart. And I just remember from that day on, I just went farther and deeper. I know that now, you know. But anyway, I joined the Army. Played war. I loved it. Still love it today, you know. Give me M16. I'm just that type of guy. I love studying about battles and theory, war theory. I just loved it. I was good at it. I remember when September 11th happened, I was very nervous. But I didn't have to go to war. During my times in the Army, I really consumed life. Worldly. You know, the pleasures of life. I remember I had people invite me to church. And I was like, "Nah, I don't want to go to church." And I was hungover, you know. I went to church once, I think, because I don't know why I did. And I did my time, I got out, and you know, life from 2002 when I got out until 2006, I mean, it was a roller coaster. Drugs, rock and roll, and etc., you know. As a matter of fact, when I was in San Diego, I used to live downtown San Diego. There was a band I was in, and before I tell that story, because that's when God started to speak to me. When I got out of the Army, I was just traveling back and forth. I mean, it was just the way my mind was, with how I was living, you know. I was so restless, you know. So I just kept on going places, just moving here, moving there. I mean, I couldn't stay still. I just didn't have any peace in my heart. Going back to Florida, California, Texas, with a buddy. I mean, I'm just going all over Southern California. I mean, it was just chaotic. And I remember coming downtown, I was in a band. As a matter of fact, they were still, they got two albums out. I was looking at eMusic.com and I saw their albums. About to hit the rock and roll dream, you know? Sign a deal, go on tour. And then one day, I did a lot of dope in my life, and that's all I did, you know, just play music and show up for the band rehearsal and just enjoy life. And I remember I was 20 years old at the time, 21, and I was at rehearsal, and they're in their 30s, they're like one was 30, 31, and 33. So I was 10 years younger than this guy. And I remember sitting down after rehearsal, and three of them were right in front of me. And it was the most weirdest and scariest thing I've ever experienced. Because they would say, "Oh, Mark, the world is going to embrace you. You can have anything you want in the world. The world's going to love you. You can get anything you want, you know?" And it was the weirdest thing, you know? It scared me. And I was like, I don't want that. I mean, you know, to have the world, it was just weird. I just couldn't take it. It was too much for me. And at that time, like a couple weeks before, I used to do drugs with this one guy who's a Rasta man. you know? And I remember he talked about the Bible with me one day. And he said, "You don't know about King David?" No, he goes, "Man, he's like the superhero of the Old Testament, you know?" I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, man, you gotta read about him." All right, so I asked my mom for a Bible, and she sent me one. And that's when God started to speak to me. In 2003. So after that little encounter with the band, I got scared and left. I went to Florida. And I talk about this in my sermon. I remember going to this church because they wanted a drummer to play for them. And for the first time in my life, I felt the love of God. It's a little Pentecostal church. No, actually, it was Assembly of God church. And they embraced me. And I've never, and I talk about this, I rejected it, but I always remembered it. You know, I always remembered how this church came to me and embraced me. And I see it in this church too, how we embrace those that come in through the doors. And that's why I think I like this church. You know, it reminds me of that first church. I really felt the love of God. But of course, you know, with the way I am, I just left, went back to California, and that's when I met a young lady, godly woman. She shouldn't have been with me. And it's amazing because God used her to wake me up. I really pulled her down. This is why I'm really big on believers and non-believers not being together, relationship. I pulled her down so far that she said something to me. And you know, when I was a kid, I was a pretty cool kid. You know, I thought I was. Everyone enjoyed me. I was nice, you know. And I talked about how I was cursing at God and I never apologized. Well, I remember her words. She said, "You know what? You've given me the darkest days of my life. You are evil." And I mean, when she told me that, it's like the Lord spoke to me, you know. And I didn't realize it, but I was evil. I manipulated people. I was, is it egoistic? What's that?
Egocentric?
Well, just the philosophy, you know, that egoism. You care about yourself, yeah. You know, and you only fulfilled your own desires,
yeah.
You know. And that was my philosophy. And I couldn't believe it. You know, of course, I did the guy thing. I tried to get it back. You know, of course you wouldn't. Except me, I thank God for that. But I remember it was hard on me. I cried for like a month, you know, and I said, "God," I started talking to God again, and I said, "God, my heart hurts." And I remember he said, "I know how I feel. I know how I feel. Not with me, you know, you're away from me. You left me in a sense." And it hurt me. Man, you're right. And God showed me who he was that day. He was a God of love. A God who was about relationships, you know, and a God who wanted to be intimate with me. And I remember I was laying in my bed one day and God spoke, "Go to Bible college." I did. It's a different story, but that's my testimony. Fast and quick, but you know, God does speak in different ways, because we're all individuals, and you know, I heard Jose's testimony, and I mean, it was a beautiful testimony. You know, God really reached in and grabbed, and you know, he did that for me too. He grabbed into my world and got a hold of me, and I thank him. So, I'm going to preach out of Galatians 1, 3 through 5. I'm going to take out your Bibles, I'll read. Galatians 1, 3 through 5. "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this wonderful day you've given us. I thank you for who you are, Lord, for what you've done in my life, and what you're continuing to do in my life. Not just my life, I should say, Callie and I's, Lord. We are one, and I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for Kyle. She's a wonderful woman, I thank you for. I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your patience with me. I don't know how you are patient with me, but you are. And I know, Lord, that you want to do things beyond my understanding through me, Lord. And so I thank you for this opportunity to just speak your word. I pray that you speak through me, Lord. And Lord, if this is my last day here on earth, I know, Lord, I have peace in you, Lord, from you, with you, through you. And I thank you, Lord, for giving me eternal life. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for this, for the people here, that their hearts are open, Lord. That when you speak through me, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they can hear your voice. In Jesus' name. Amen. I remember the first time I felt the love of God. And I told you this earlier. His love being poured out through his people to me. I didn't accept it at the time and reject it, but nevertheless, it was given to me. This event happened right after I left San Diego when I used to live downtown. My mom and I were just talking about this the other day. Those were some of my darkest days. But in those days, those darkest days, God spoke to me. During those days, I enjoyed life without God and never dreamed leaving. Thank God, He is a God who speaks and pursues. Many would say if He does exist, He's somewhere far away. But I know He's here with us today. He has always had me on His mind as He has always had you on His mind. A God who is patient and kind, a God who is slow to anger, a God who forgives, a God who was willing to walk among us and die for us. That is the God that we serve. I love reading Psalm 3:4. To the Lord I cry aloud and He answers me from His holy hill. God is also a God who listens and responds to our hurts, cries, and praises. In verse 3, we read, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul would always begin his letters with this statement. And why would he? Grace is God's unmerited goodwill freely given and decisively effective in the saving work of Jesus Christ. Peace refers to a state of wholeness and freedom that the grace of God brings. Timothy George says both concepts are deeply rooted in the Old Testament scriptures and are both beautifully brought together in Numbers 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. Grace is an essential and permanent attribute of God. God revealed Himself to Moses as a compassionate and gracious God in Exodus 34:6. In John 1:14, we read that Jesus came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And in Hebrews 10:29, we read that the Holy Spirit being called the Spirit of grace. Even God's throne, as Hebrews 4:16 tells us, is a throne of grace in which we are told to approach with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Without the grace of God, we could have not been redeemed by the cross. As Ephesians 2:8 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We must grow in God's grace. Ephesians 4:11 through 13 says, it was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the
knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Grace is a wonderful thing to experience.
Amen.
I remember one day I was turning a book I checked out from the library, but it was a day late. I told the librarian that the book was late and I'm ready to pay my fee. She responded, "We give a one-day grace period." I smiled, said thank you, and left the library. When I was outside of the library, I took a breath of fresh air and said to myself, "I love grace." I did. I remember after accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I sinned really bad, and the guilt of my sin brought me to my knees. Now, how many can relate to that? But I remember praying and crying out to God, repenting for my sin when something happened. It's like God was pleased by me not running from my guilt, but me being honest to myself and most of all to Him. Right there on my knees, God was saying to me, "Get up and move on." That is the grace of God. He doesn't want us to stay down, but to keep going. It is so easy to assume that God just wants to be angry at us and with us. We look at the people around us and even in the church and we create our own definitions of who God is. But by hearing God's word, by reading His word, by just sitting alone and spending time with Him, and even repenting from our sins, His grace allows us to know who He really is. A God that is love, merciful, patient, kind. So as we receive the grace of God, we receive the peace of God. Not the worldly peace that is temporary and where war can easily replace, but peace that is eternal and that enters and consumes the heart. I think of the words of Christ in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Oswald Chambers said, "The peace we receive from Christ is a peace which comes from looking into His face and realizing He is not disturbed." This church building has peace because the hearts of men and women that belong to this church have the peace of God in their hearts. There's a story I heard the other day from Rabbi Zacharias I want to share with you. He told a very moving story about his encounter with Sheikh Talal, one of the forefathers of Hamas, when he was at a meeting in Israel. Sheikh Talal spoke about how killing innocents is wrong, but now suicide bombing had become the only way that they could fight. He had lost several of his children to the conflict. Rabbi told him a little distance from where they were was a mountain upon which Abraham went 5,000 years ago to offer his son. And as the axe was about to fall, God said, "Stop! I myself will provide." Then Rabbi said to him, "Very close to where you and I are sitting, Jake, is a hill. 2,000 years ago, God kept that promise and brought His son, and the axe did not stop this time. He sacrificed His own son." Then Rabbi said, "Jake, I just want you to hear this. Until you and I receive the Son of God, the Son God has provided, we'll be offering our sons and daughters on the battlefields of this world for many of the wrong reasons." I thought of that story while Mario and Chris and I were walking the streets. Until the families receive the Son, their sons and daughters, the same children that come to church Friday night, will also be offered for the wrong reasons. Do you see how important this little church is on the corner of National 36? Don't you see? It's 36, right? But don't you see the importance of this church? This little church. Little people. Not little. Phil, you're not little. But small people. Small amount. I've been to a church, 30,000 members. But we do so much here. We are blessed by God. And God wants to do more. That's why I love going with Mario. I love going with Chris. I love seeing the people. You know? Because maybe, just maybe, at least one a day, we can see God working in their lives. God transforming their lives, and then one day they can go with us to tell them their story. That's what God does. We saw that yesterday with Jose. And we see that today with me. We read in verse 4 that it was Jesus Christ who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. It's funny how people try to deny the existence of evil when it exists all around us, just as here in National City it exists. You see it every day, almost. It's just another way to try to take the cross out of people's hearts and lives, for if there's no evil in this world, then we have no reason to be saved. We are the cause of evil, yet we are told by Paul it was by God's will that Christ died for our sins. I ask myself, should we keep that truth inside these walls? Should we keep it in here? When I see the church leave the doors open as they are now, I don't see it so only those that need to hear the word can come in, but that those who have the word can go out. It is a very big challenge for a small church like this to hit the streets. It really is, but we do it, don't we, Mario? We go off and we tell them about the love of God. Is it challenging? Yeah, it's challenging. You think I went off when I got saved and said, hey, I'm going to go tell people? No, I was nervous. I was scared. But I said to myself, you know what, God? I'll go out in faith. And this is true. I was evangelism class. I didn't take it. I didn't want to evangelize. I was in Bible college. And I said, you know what, Lord? I'm not part of the class. But I'll go out in faith. If I just go, I just want you to help me to be a better evangelist. I guess that's the word. But you know what? The funny thing is, he did. And I don't share this much often, but in my school, I got the award, the Barnabas Award for evangelism. You know? I mean, they say, Mark, you go out. They say, hey, when you go, what do we have in an evangelism class? I said, I don't have the class. They thought I was in the class. But by faith, I just say, you know what, God? I can't do it, but I'm just going to go out and do it. You know? And I just got comfortable. You know? I love it. Mara loves it. Chris loves it. I mean, we're going under the bridge, over the bridge, dodging cars. You know? But the people we encounter, man, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And so I know Philip and I, we talked about this Saturday. We're going to go at 8 o'clock when the ladies have their breakfast. And I think Jose, I think he's going too. So pray for us. We're going to go. And, you know, I told Pastor Steve about this, and I think I told Chris this too. One day, I think I was dropping these two young men off. I was coming back, and I just saw the streets filled with people. Always. I mean, and it was just prior to that, I kind of recognized it. But then God spoke to my heart and just said, let's walk the streets, you know? You don't know what, who knows what God is going to do? Who knows what God's going to do this Saturday? But you know, when that entered my heart, I told Pastor Steve, I said, man, we got to hit the streets. We got to go. You know? And that's why I have this drive to go out there, just not just because it's my emotion, but because God spoke to my heart. When I think of the challenges of the church, I think of what Reverend A.M. Hill says, in holiness and power. And I love this. I think I've of all the times I preach, I think I've quoted this 3 times. I've only preached like it does out of homiletics class. And so this is just so powerful in this book. The book is, again, Holiness and Power. Outside of Judea, idolatry reigned supreme. Gods and goddesses represented every phase of vice, were openly worshipped in magnificent temples and at costly shrines. All power was in the hands of a magnificent and heartless imperialism. The masses were sunk in hopeless degradation, without means, without learning, without protection, and 60 million of them in the Roman Empire alone were slaves. Aged parents were suffered to die of starvation, children were exposed and murdered, men fought each other as gladiators and amphitheaters and died by thousands for the amusement of the cruel populace. Every precept of the moral law was violated almost without conscience and without hindrance. The early disciples had no wealth, no social position, no prestige, no government aid, no help from established institutions. They were in themselves a despised and feeble folk, without influence, without skill, without education, without a New Testament or even an Old Testament in the hands of the people, without a Christian literature or a single Christian house of worship. Pomp, power, custom, and public sentiment were all against them. They were reproached, reviled, persecuted, and subjected to exile and death. But, listen to this, those early Christians had the help of an indwelling, sanctifying Savior and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And with that equipment, they faced a hostile world and all the powers of darkness and conquered. They faced all the powers of darkness and conquered because they were filled with the Spirit. They were anointed. They were anointed. And I believe the only way we're going to touch this community, if as a church we are filled, we're anointed by God, by His Spirit, and we go out into the streets, and we go with power, because God will do His part. We're just a messenger. He will do His part. I remember seeing a guy, I was out evangelizing, and a guy just shot himself in the head, had a big old hole in his head. He left the next day, and I said, "Man, why'd you shoot yourself in the head? I want to kill myself." I said, "You see, now you know why, you know, you're alive, because I'm here because, how did I say it? You're here today. God saved you because He wanted you to hear what I'm telling you now, you know? And there's people out there who are on the bridge of death, on the peak of death, you can say. You know? And unless we go meet out there and see them, how are they going to know? How are they going to know that there's hope in the cross? We got to go to them, you know? And so that's my drive, to get out to them and touch them and hug them, embrace them, and feed them. We saw Leroy. Man, this was cool. We saw Leroy. Let's say hi to Leroy. When Leroy saw us, he blessed us. He was so excited. He was like, how you guys doing? I mean, he was jumping up, you know? We blessed him. No, he blessed us. He blessed us. And there's so many people out there who are going to bless us too. Because God wants to work through them. And we're going to experience that. I get excited when I talk about reaching out to those who don't know Christ, because I don't know, you know, it's real, it's truth. And I hope God continues to use me in that way. I want to see God work these streets, and I know He will. It's only if we are willing to be used by Him. I hear amazing stories of God working through missionaries all over the world. I used to say to God, "Send me there, to those places, Lord. I want to go there so I can tell others here in the States what You are doing." But God responded, "I want it to happen in the States as well." Can you imagine, church, all around us, we hear and see the lost get saved, the blind start to see, families reunite, and even the dead rise? Then we can shout to God what Paul says in verse 5, "To whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." And that's how I end. And last night I was really meditating on this word. Really meditating. You know, I'm still learning how. It's funny, I had a preacher say, "Man, you really just do to the point and quick." You know, my sermon's really fast. But, you know, what God really spoke to me last night, and He just made it so loud to me. You know, we talk about there's not that many people here, but the church is here. And that's what's so important today. Because I knew I was going to be speaking to the church. And what God really put in my heart for when I was done with my sermon was, I don't know, for the church to really get together, maybe hold hands, and kind of just pray that God would really bring His Spirit to fill us and anoint us and direct us and do things through this church. Because I really think that God can do more through us. I mean, we do so much, but I know God can do more if we're willing. So I'm just saying this because I know the Lord put it in my heart, and I'm just going to where the Lord is leading me. So I don't know, maybe we can just get in a circle, hold hands, do something, and just pray.
for God to really come and bless us and fill us and direct us? Yeah?
Yeah.